Welcome back to the stall.
Our favorite spot.
Exactly. It's Jenny Lee, of course, and...
And Cass. Nice to see you guys.
You know what? You look gorgeous, even more so today and stuff, but...
Oh, well, I may have gotten a little work done recently. No, yeah.
You look perfect all the time. What work did you get done?
I just got 50 units of Botox pumped into my face. But... Really? I can't even move my poor look.
Oh, maybe that is why your eyes look like so big and vibrant.
Oh, thank you.
But you're getting Botox at your age.
They put me up full of it was $500 worth, and they just said, where you want it? And I was just like, oh, well, like, I kind of want to do a lip flip.
I don't even know what a lip flip is. Ooh, come on in.
Let's get down and dirty.
The totally unfiltered, honest.
Up to my brain.
I love your brain.
Stall talk.
Stall talk.
Y'all ready?
So, do you know, like, lip filler?
Yeah, I know what those are, yes.
So with fillers, they tend to migrate. So I didn't want to go that route with my lips. My top lip is a little smaller than my bottom lip. So I was like always interested in getting filler, but I didn't want it to like migrate into my face. Right. So I researched something called a lip flip. And basically they like inject Botox like in these areas and it basically like freezes your lip into like a certain position. So it kind of does like that Cupid's bow thing. I still have about half a week for it to like fully like to be able to see what it looks like. It's been pretty recent, but I can't move my forehead. Ready? They injected it all of my forehead, 11s, here, then like here. Yeah. It was really fun. I wanted to watch it.
Oh. Ew.
Yeah,
ooh.
You can like feel like when the liquid is getting pumped. Ooh, you can like feel it.
No.
Oh, I loved it. Ah, you're like, have you done anything like that before?
Well, yes, I've had work done. I do Botox and I'm due. Mm-hmm. So I do Botox. I do skin peels. Mm-hmm. And I've done, I even did something lately. Mm-hmm. It's called needling. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of that?
Like microneedling?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I did that one. And that's kind of about it. I try to not do so much. As you age, you're going to get in a lot of trouble because then, I want to age gracefully. I'm not going to get rid of all my wrinkles and all this, but I try to take good care of my hair and good care of my skin. So it'll just look healthy and pretty, but get older. And we have a very cool guest coming in.
We do.
So excited. She's dropping into the stall. She's going to teach us all about aesthetics and styling and just woman empowerment.
Yeah. And she styled people like Ludacris. She's worked on The Voice. I'm super excited for you guys to meet her.
Very famous. So stay tuned.
Introducing today's special guest, Cash Howard.
Hey!
I am so excited to have you on Stall Talk.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. This is going to be a very awesome conversation.
Absolutely.
So firstly, I obviously just want to share our initial meeting and introduction and how we literally just bonded and connected so quickly. Your spirit, your energy, we met at a mutual friend's birthday dinner.
You came in with someone I knew. I didn't know you, but yet you're very pleasant. And for one, your accent. I was like, oh, God, where's she from? You know, because I was so drawn to your diction. So and then you were like, I'm a stylist. And, you know, your energy was just resonating. And I had this girl in front of me. You were kind of like adjacent, kind of not even in talking, you know, direction, kind of rude, like really like interacting with you. So as the night went on and certain topics came up and whenever I would mention something I've done, you were talking about, I think we were talking about Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It was approaching and you were like, oh, I want to do a tunnel, fashion. I was like, oh my God, I literally just did one of those. Mm-hmm. And you were like, really? And so when you saw it, it was a genuine love. It wasn't like, oh, okay. You know, like, mm-hmm. how we could be.
Yeah.
So, it was just the way you landed. It spoke to me like I hadn't been spoken to from another stylist. When things like that happen, you got to understand it's just divine order.
It is.
And so I just trusted, and here we are.
Yeah, and I'm super grateful at how open you are, and you were, especially at that dinner, because, again, I'm a foreigner. I'm not from here. And it's like, okay, who's this girl from Australia? Who's a stylist who's doing, like, a lot of women get intimidated or, like, defensive somewhat, right? So thank you, because I'm very grateful for our friendship. I'm more enamored and so admirable of everything you've achieved and the work that you do. You've worked with some notable clients. You work on The Voice.
Yeah.
You're a costume designer. You're a stylist. You're a designer. Please share your journey. Like, just please just give us inside a snapshot of what your journey's been like, because it's incredible.
Fashion has always been a way of self-expression. Mm-hmm. And for me, it started at a very tender age of flipping through fashion magazines, right? Mm-hmm. Or sketching designs in my spiral notebook, mm-hmm. or being inspired by my mom or my dad or other family members' styles, mm-hmm. giving me the passion to experiment with my own wardrobe.
Yeah.
Realizing and having the confidence in seeing how clothing mm-hmm. can transform identity and perception. So with that, it took me to understand the cultural effects fashion has mm-hmm. in music, art, and in film. So I felt like I can't lose, because I love art, mm-hmm. I love music, mm-hmm. I love film, and I love to design, and all of that encompass fashion. Mm-hmm. So that's what started the desire. That's what sparked it. I remember other groundbreaking, defining moments, like attending runway fashion shows with my mom, the Ebony Fashion Fair. Mm-hmm. And I remember being young, looking up at all the fashion as well as the models and saying, wow, I want to do this. I want to do this, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. So all of that led to the determination. Really couldn't decipher at that time, like, you know, if I wanted to be a stylist, because I didn't start off as a stylist. I started off, you know, modeling mm-hmm. and acting mm-hmm. and had a successful run at it. Did quite a few billboards for Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. Cristal Beer, Capital mm-hmm. One commercials. Mm-hmm. So I had a really good run at being a SAG, you know, commercial actor. I did some scripted situations, but I realized more for me, I was impatient, so mm-hmm. I didn't like the process. I more so liked the commercials and industrial work for
yeah.
me
yeah.
as an actor. And I still had the love of fashion. I remember the costume designer for the Coca-Cola billboard was dressing me, and I thought it was hideous. And I was like, gosh, you are the talent. You're not styling this and you getting paid. Get over it. But what really happened, it was a pivotal moment for me, because I was a fashion stylist. I wasn't a costumer. Mm-hmm. Two different worlds.
Completely.
So I at that time, being a model, I realized, like, oh, okay, wait. And these minimalists, like, it's not about so much the bling and the deconstructing of the look. This needs to be girl next door vibes. Mm-hmm. So it brought me into that world mm-hmm. as a model. Mm-hmm. And then it prepared me for the world I didn't even knew was ahead as a costumer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I resonate with this so much. This is why I love you so much, because that determination that you talk about, that resilience, that personality type that you need to be in this industry, also having your own aesthetic, personal style, and then working with a client who has already their own distinct vibe about them, right? How do you stay true to your personal style, your vision, your aesthetic, whilst also maintaining their needs and what they've got in their mind?
Absolutely. So I approach each project with a balance of vast research, mm-hmm. open communication, mm-hmm. and a very creative intuition. Mm. My first priority is to fully understand my client's core identity, mm-hmm. whether that's through a brand they like, individual style they've seen they want to try, a mm-hmm. personal concept they want to try. Mm-hmm. And that involves deep conversation. Mm. That involves looking at past looks, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, identifying key themes that defines their essence. Mm. So when I get a clear vision, what it is they want,
yeah.
I then align my own creative perspective, right? Mm-hmm. With a synergy that elevates the project beyond expectation. Mm-hmm. I do this with a focus on storytelling, mm-hmm. aesthetics, mm-hmm. emotions. I like to go places that leave lasting impacts, ensuring that I enhance the client's look, mm-hmm. but not overshadowing with my own personal style. My signature style has to be flexible, mm-hmm. so I remain adaptable, but I still bring my perspective and my point of view to the table.
And that way, you're really allowing that person to kind of shine through.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I get it. I totally get it. Who is one of the most challenging clients you've experienced?
Oh, man. Dang. That's, let's see. Okay, a client meaning I actually work with them, because there are some that I chose not to work with.
Fair enough.
You know, I think the level of the work mm-hmm. determines sometimes the opposition of the client. Mm-hmm. When you get two people that are very passionate about a particular look, mm-hmm. Image, mm-hmm. how they want to come off. Mm-hmm. Everybody's really, I'm passionate, you're passionate. So we got to merge those worlds. I got to respect who you are and your identity, but you also got to respect you hired me to bring it something maybe it hadn't met yet, right? Mm. So what happens is you got to come in with a level of confidence and believe in your work. And so the client really, to me, in my history, I feel like sometimes they push the envelope to see if you will stand on, I believe this really works for you. But if you sway, I believe they don't believe in your ability and don't see a vision for them. You're really more so following their lackluster vision, and you're not fulfilling your job as the seer, the eye of the look, the person that really knows where to go with it. Because as a stylist, we dive deep, mm-hmm. you know, we go beyond, we see the aesthetics of it. We see the jewelry, the rings, the dangles, the drops, the shoe, the heel, the cut of it, the square toe, the pointed toe. That matters. Mm-hmm. He may want a pointed toe. No, that's not working with the level of the cut of the pant.
Right.
We're that intricate, right? Mm-hmm. At least we should be.
1,000%.
So I've had a client that I worked with 5 years, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say he was difficult, but I had to stand my ground on what I saw to be what would not only make sense for the look, but the workmanship of what we're doing. And I remember we had a conversation, and it was a tour, and so he said, you know, I said, look, we do 8 circles. And that's changes. That's a lot, right? And I say, you know, you want to change clothes, and you know, we really need to do breakaways, into where, you know, we do the, you know, we put the Velcro, and it's easier for you to get out of it. No, I don't like that. I'm like, yeah, but it, you know, it really makes more sense. Mm-hmm. And so I spoke to the stage manager, and I was like, you know, I really need you to help me kind of, you know, explain to him, you know, the mechanics of it all. And so I was like, you know, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry. So I was like, you know, Cass, you are a mom. So let's be a mom in mm-hmm. this situation. Mm-hmm. And I said, listen, you're not going to make it in time. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make your stage call time. Oh, I've been doing this for years. You just started. It's like, oh, okay, sure. What do I know? Newbie. Okay. So I said, okay, God, do your big one. So call time, and we get ready to go out, and we have to put the wings on him. The wings come on, and then once the wings come on, that's when he dropped the cape and was supposed to drop the pant.
Right.
Well, the pants were stuck. They didn't come down. Mm-hmm. So the lights on him, crowd's going crazy and he's juggling with the pants. Well, he had to keep the same pants on the whole run of that first circle because he didn't listen to his stylist. So that point afterwards, I didn't say, told you.
Yeah.
Just went along with it. And then he says to me at the end of the night, so you'll have those pants ready for the next show, right?
And of course doesn't want to,
you know what I mean?
Tell you that you were right.
Of course, but it's not about being right. It's about being effective.
Yeah.
So for me, that situation, instead of me fighting in the beginning, I wanted him to see for himself, mm-hmm. you know, and once he saw for himself, mm-hmm. I got my way.
Yeah.
On all things moving forward.
But that's the level of certainty that you need to have within your skill set, with your vision,
Absolutely.
With your style, like, and that, I think, sets you apart from being a successful stylist or not. Because if you can't handle personalities like that, you are going to sink in this industry.
You know, as a stylist, and you can identify with this, we are not just stylists. Mm-hmm. We're therapists.
Literally.
We are. We take on every role. Mm-hmm. We really do. So what that means for us, we have to keep educating ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to keep learning. We have to keep putting ourselves in rooms where we learn the temperature in that room. And we learn to, maybe there are times where we need to be seen and not heard. Maybe there are times mm-hmm. we need to be heard. And maybe there are times when we just need to be present, you mm-hmm. know? So it's a constant evolving career. Mm-hmm. It's a very, Jesus, this career.
It tests you, right?
It will test the waters.
Right.
So, you can't come in this career not knowing who you are and not having confidence.
Oof, that gave me chills. If you don't know who you are in this industry, forget it.
And if you can't take insults and other people's opinions about not liking your work, it won't work.
Don't take shit personally. Otherwise, it is not going to work for you.
You cannot take it personal. No.
I want to ask you about how it was working with R. Kelly.
The time I was with R. Kelly was at his height. Like, he was A-list artist. So.
Right.
Meeting other creatives, sitting down with Tom Ford, designing blazers for album covers. I styled, 3-4 album covers. I worked with him 5 years. We toured all 5 of those years.
Wow.
His press runs were insane. They were just crazy. So it was a rock star lifestyle. I enjoyed working with R. Kelly. I learned so much. I learned so much. He taught me so much because before I worked with R. Kelly, other greats had worked with him, like June Ambrose, which is my idol. She's amazing.
Wow.
So he had already been kind of like nudged in the world of a stylist, and then coming from somebody as great as her and getting somebody as myself who was at that time not an embryo in the game, but nowhere near June Ambrose in that level in my career. So he also helped cultivate my career working for him. What are the odds of that?
It's
so it was just a lot of learning with him. I mean, he's a teacher. There's a softer side to him that I got to really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we had our riffs, you know, we would have our moments. You know, but that's what made it so amazing and so genuine and authentic, because he knew Cash is going to, she's going to bitch. She's going to stand her ground on woo, woo, woo.
But I think as knowing you as I do, it's because you care.
Because I care.
It's because you care.
Say that for the people in the back. That is really it. And if I'm quiet, I'm done caring.
Right.
Yeah.
I've definitely felt that from you the moment I met you. It's like you won't speak your mind and have such passion if you didn't give a shit.
Absolutely.
And I have to say it like that because
that's so
that
true.
Real.
I mean, that's cut and dry. Like, that's really the way I am. And so it brings about a different level of passion for what you do. And the person you're doing it for realizes, look, the ultimate goal is not only providing and creating a service and a look for the client, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, my ultimate goal is to push creative boundaries
mm-hmm.
that have lasting impacts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I leave this client that was so hard to work with and I got him to try these skinny jeans, I got him to try some things maybe he wouldn't have tried, the next stylist may not have such a hard time to get him to be open because I've already knocked that door down.
And that's why you're not just the stylist.
I'm not just a stylist.
Yeah, you're pushing boundaries.
Yes.
with him as a person, as a human.
So every client, I want to try to introduce something new to them, because I feel like I haven't done my just if I come and then this is your vibe all the time and I bring you the same vibe.
You're not pushing boundaries.
I'm not pushing boundaries. I'm staying within your safe boundaries, and that's not why you hire a stylist. I mean, let's be honest. A stylist is an elective choice. Mm-hmm. It's like cosmetic surgery. Mm-hmm. You don't need it.
No.
Right?
No.
You really don't need it. You could go without it. Mm-hmm. So when you decide to get a stylist, that's a luxury. So
when you're elevating yourself.
You're elevating yourself, and you got to be able to also afford that luxury. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to afford it, because it's elective. You want it.
Yeah.
Just like anything else you want, you got to pay for it.
Exactly.
So that's another thing. As a stylist, you really have to do the business part of it. Mm-hmm. You really have to understand what it takes for you to achieve the job, your time, your gas or electric, or your thought process. You're not just paying, although it may take me an hour to do the job, you're not just paying for that. Mm-mm. You're paying for my years of experience. Mm-hmm. You're paying for my cultivated eye. Mm-hmm. You're paying for my days off for me out just sourcing. So when a person like you do call, I know where to go.
Yeah.
So you got to pay for that. So that's an elective choice that comes with a well-rounded stylist who really get it. And I really don't think we really get the credit we deserve. Like when
absolutely
it's like
not.
Wardrobe stylist, and it's like, oh, you're a stylist. It's like, do you know what that encompasses?
Yeah, absolutely not. We are definitely not credited for the work that we do.
We're not. Yeah.
I want to keep talking. I have so much to obviously ask you.
We do this all day.
Literally. But what is your advice for someone walking into the industry at this stage of where we're at in the world, because the industry isn't what it used to be?
Right.
So what would be your advice now for someone that's starting their career in styling?
Even though it's not where it used to be, I believe in old school methods. Mm-hmm. And I still believe in my same core values. Mm-hmm. And that's open communication. Mm-hmm. That's deep research. Mm-hmm. I feel like stylists don't do enough research. Mm-hmm. And not only on the project, but the person. Mm-hmm. Like know who you are dealing with, not just, you know, what they're doing today. Mm-hmm. Venture off to see what they've done back in the day. Mm-hmm. Oh, she may like this vintage look because, oh my God, I saw she was in this Bob Mackie gown and da 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 da. Or now I see she's wearing, you know, Schiaparelli, so I can merge the world. So do your research. And also, when you do your research, it impresses your client.
Of course.
Because sometimes clients, like myself, I don't want to always tell you what I've done. Mm-hmm. I'm from the world where you pass the mic. You tell me what I've done.
Love that.
You understand? So it's more, it just seems more organic than I've done this and I've done that. And when people ask me that question, I sometimes cringe because I'm like, I don't want a name drop.
Right.
You know, and I know that's where people give you your validation, right? Who have you styled? Mm-hmm. So when I start naming all these names and it's somehow supposed to elevate me to a certain level, no, I'm not giving you cheat codes.
Right.
Like, do your research if it means that much to you.
Exactly.
But for the person I'm working for, they have my resume, they have my spiel, they have my reel, they understand who I am. The person hiring me knows, because why? They've done their research.
Yeah.
And I have more of allegiance with those types of people because of that. So for those that want validation, that's for parking. I'm sorry. I'm not giving you that.
Oh,
I'm not giving you that.
I love you. I love you. Any last words?
You know, just, you know, we're women and we're entrepreneurs and we have a different task at hand. So I think keep the resilience, keep the determination, and know who you are and shine and kick ass.
For everyone listening, let's give a shout out to your incredible fur and leather collection that I had the pleasure of wearing when we went away. Please give us a shout out for it.
Viewers, you can find 7 furs and leathers at, write out the number 7 and then fursandleathers.net.
Cash, thank you so much for coming on Style Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that was amazing with her. What a powerhouse, huh?
Right. Mm. Now you guys know why I hang out with her. She's just like uplifting, empowering, awesome energy.
As you guys were talking, I was like, wait, is this the woman that's been on your stories? I've seen that you've posted when you went to the garment district for the first time. Was that her?
She took me to Santee Alley.
I'm so shocked that you've never been there.
So I had been to certain parts of it, but she took me deep into Santee Alley. And I was like, where have I been for the 3 years that I've lived in LA?
So all the time you went to the fashion district, you didn't know that Santee Alley? That's like the main part.
I had taken clients to certain stores, but I had not gone down as far as she had taken me to.
Wow.
She took me to Santee Alley.
Wow. I love how you guys bounce off each other.
Yeah, it's a really cool energy.
So she's really close with her mom, too. And I don't know, I think she probably keeps some healthy relationships around her, right? Like you.
Definitely, yeah. And I think it's important, especially in our industry, because it can be quite superficial and quite, you know, surface level when you're at certain events. But I think there's a depth about her. And I think that's why her and I connect so deeply, is because... yeah, there's a lot of substance, there's a lot of heart, there's a lot of genuine care. And I just think being in this industry, it's super important to stay grounded and humble.
And you know what? I had the question when you guys were talking. I thought, you guys were both saying, when you're a stylist, which is interesting because I've never thought of that. I've never had the good fortune to have a stylist, but I've always had a costumer, right?
Yes.
So anyway, with that, you guys talked about how you have to go deep with your clients to understand them and all that. So you guys do work like therapists, but when you go into those rooms and you have to dig so deep with your client, are you truly like a therapist that you, when you get out of the room, is it hard to shake off that?
I think if you have the capacity to hold someone and what they're sharing with you, like, you know, with our conversations, like, and having conversations in the bathroom, like in the stall, it's like you want to provide some kind of emotional support, or you want them to know that you've got their back. And so it's the same kind of thing. Like, you want to truly understand who you're working with, and you want to truly understand like who they are. Like she said, like, it's not just putting clothes on them. Like, who are they? What's their authentic core essence? When you truly understand that about someone, again, it's like the clothes and the outside is just the cherry on the top.
But are you able to separate it, or do you take it home at times? For instance, if I could share so much, Cass had a real rough time a couple weeks ago. And frankly, she came onto the set and the first thing she did is she started to cry. And I just grabbed her and held her. And she rose to the occasion. She was a trooper and did fabulous. But I was so affected by that it consumed me all weekend long, you know?
Really?
And that, yeah.
Consumed
me the whole time.
I love how honest you are.
Really sweet.
No, it's true, because I'm just thinking of her and she was, you know, in a bad spot. And I'm working now so closely with her. So again, for me, it's hard to shake it off when she's not doing well. When you have to work so closely with a client, because like Cash said, that when she walks in, she just doesn't show up. You are so invested if you're going to do a good job with a client.
Exactly. So there's a level of, because I speak for myself, like a level of empathy that I show to people anyway, and then with my clients, because I think we care so much. Yeah, it does affect you, because I'm not going to say, well, I can brush it off, because I'm super sensitive and I know I'm very emotional.
I am too.
And so, yeah, there's a level of energy that you take on, and that's why you've got to be super conscious of the energy that you surround yourself with outside of work, because there's that all takes energy and it's exhausting if you don't know how to discern between it. So I take it on, but I think I have the tools that I cannot allow it to affect me. But being so sensitive and a woman and all of that, it, like, you take it on, you can't not. And I just,
So maybe it's about all walks of life, really, that no matter what we're doing, if we surround ourselves with healthy, like I even said, I'm very stringent about, I do not allow to have toxicity in my life.
Yeah.
So if something is toxic, I'm a really good one that I just say, nope.
Yeah.
Nope, not going to happen, not going to go there.
Yeah, right? I agree with that. I'm almost like, no, that doesn't feel good for me, or that doesn't align with me, and I'm okay to express that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say no to something. Doesn't mean it probably still wouldn't affect me in the moment, because, you know, it could be quite abrupt or like, right. Whoa, where did that come from? But I think I've got enough emotional intelligence to be like, thanks, but I'm good.
Oh, you know what? Have you guys ever said no to someone that came to you and wanted to hire you, and you had a job, and then you meet them and they're so icky that you just say, nope, can't help you? Have you ever had to do that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
what happened?
I'm too honest, as you can probably tell. I'm so direct and honest that I have to just say how I feel, like, because I just can't pretend. I can't do the fake thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just say it. And if it's kind of caused an awkward, uncomfortable moment, then it's like, let's sit in that awkwardness for a little bit and let's move through that, shall we?
Or not.
And if we can't, then let's exit stage left.
Wow. That, you know what? That's a fabulous tool for everything in life, I think, is just sit there with that honesty, take it in and say, can we move through this? And if not, go hang out in the barn with the donkey and say, nope, not going to work for you,
that.
Right?
I couldn't do that only a couple of years ago. I think I can only do that comfortably now at this point in my life. I just want to leave people with one thing. Recently, what I've learned the most is the more vulnerability you're able to give someone, the stronger and deeper the connection you'll have.
Definitely. And say no to the icky ones. Right?
Thank you so much, Ivana, for coming on. We love having you.
Oh,
thanks, ladies.
Yeah, always.
Trending up, trending down.
What?
It's that time, trending up and trending down on Stall Talk. This week has been all about live action Disney movies. We have Lilo and Stitch coming out in May, which I'm super excited for. I was just at Disney and they had all the Stitch characters everywhere. And we currently have out Snow White. It's been getting a lot of controversy. What do you guys think? Let's talk about it in the comments. That's all from me for trending up and trending down. Bye, babes.
Thanks so much for watching and listening.
Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe on all our social media platforms. See you next week.
See ya.